Saturday morning, serials chapters 1 through 15. Fly paper, penny loafers, Lucky Strike green. Flat tops, soft tops, Studebaker, Pepsi, please.
If you know this, you're old.
Remember these. Cigar bands on your hand, your daddy's socks roll down. Sticks, no plugs, and aviator caps with flaps that button down. Movie stars on Dixie cup tops and knickers to your knees. Do you remember these?
Who's ever heard that song before? Raise your hand. Okay, you guys are humble that you would admit it. Who had never heard that song before? Raise your hand. Good. For those of you that don't know, that was the Statler Brothers. For those of you that don't know who they are, they're a country western group that sang about 100 years ago. Anyway, just a story about me and the Statler Brothers. They were famous back in the 60s and when I was in the 70s, and so I liked them and listened to them and all that kind of stuff. And I was in Denny's restaurant one night. It was in the late 70s. And we were just paying our bill, Denny's restaurant in Tucson. And I was just paying the bill, and I heard this voice that I knew. And I turned around, and surely it was one of the Statler Brothers. And he was he's got a deep bass voice. You can't miss it. And I said, I know you. And he says, yeah, I've heard that a lot. Anyway, just a little fun. What do you remember about last year? What do you remember? Anything? Okay, first of all, who stayed up till midnight? We did. We stayed up at midnight New York time. And we were just done after that. We're not going to make it past New York time midnight. It's not going to happen. Anyway, you've heard me tell the story before. I'm going to tell some stories this morning. I first heard it from John Maxwell. And he said that there was it's a make-believe story, so don't have to figure out what town it happened in. But he says there was a family that was moving into town and went to the hardware store and didn't know anybody, so they were buying some supplies for the new house and whatnot. And they asked the hardware store owner, he says, what kind of town is this? We're new here. And so what is this place like? And the hardware store answered, he says, well, what kind of town did you come from? And the guy says, we came from a terrible town. The people were closed. They were nasty. No one was friendly. No one would help you. And so the hardware store owner says, well, I'm afraid you're going to find pretty much the same thing here. And so not long later, another family came in and he says, we're just moving to town. What's this town like? And the hardware store owner said the same thing. He said, well, what was your last town like? He said, man, it was wonderful. People were friendly. They would help you. They would do anything that you needed to be done. And it was just the greatest town. And if we hadn't been transferred here with my job, we wouldn't have left that town because we just loved it and loved the people there. And so the guy says, well, you're going to find pretty much the same place here. Which is true. What do you remember about last year? Hang on, dear. It's going to be pretty much the next year like this one because it's amazing how we remember things. And so I want to take a couple minutes this morning, more than a couple probably, and remember some of the things that God did. Nice to have some of my relatives here, but especially my Aunt Norma. There you are, Aunt. Aunt Norma, and not my regular Aunt Norma. She lives here. My other Aunt Norma lives in North Phoenix, and her husband pastored, and Norma pastored, the Kingman Assembly of God Church when my father pastored the Casa Grande Assembly of God Church. And so they were our close relatives, and their kids were about our kids' age, and we were all about the same age. Matter of fact, my cousin Gary. Gary, would you stand, please? I think I probably told stories. This guy is he's bright, he's intellectual. He's one of the smartest people I know. He's got his master's degree, and we roomed together in college. And Gary was on the quiet side. I've always been somewhat boisterous and loud, and so as Gary would help me with my homework when he wasn't looking, I'd copy. And so I'd turn the stuff in, and the professors would write on his paper, "You should quit copying your cousin's papers." Anyway. So, and then the family, and then Michelle, when she was still geesey, used to be the, what do they call them, the overhead projection flipper girl. whatever that is, way back in the old building. You know, Michelle, that's been 25 years ago. It's been a long time. Anyway, so it's good to have some family, and so we remember those kinds of things. But I want to take some time, and again, I'm always a little hesitant because things that are very meaningful to me, sometimes to somebody else, they don't mean much. And so I hate to impose, but because it's New Year's Day and we're kind of doing a remembering time anyway, I want to remember some of the things that God did through you this past year. And one of the highlights, we've been talking about highlights around here for a while. I'd say it was a highlight for Life Community to send a team to Cambodia to that orphanage over there. And all the wonderful things that happened. Everybody paid their way to get there. And it was a wonderful thing. You go to a third world country, especially those in a younger generation, it'll change your paradigm. It'll change your mindset for the rest of your life. And so one of the highlights that we had around here is when that group went to Cambodia. Sean and Lindsay Adarmi, I saw you walk in, Lindsay, somewhere. And for the wonderful job of taking the whole team over there, being responsible, and the great things that went on during that time. And then the other thing, we did what we call a Can It Sunday. All the Four Square churches in Arizona decided, how can we encourage people to come to church? And so we worked for about 6 or 8 weeks, and toward October 23rd, which was our Can It Sunday. And then all the churches, Four Square churches in the area, brought cans of food to their church, and most of them gave them away to the food bank and whatnot like that. And so we said, you know, rather than just giving away to a food bank, why don't we offer families Christmas? And so end of October, pretty much nearing Thanksgiving and Christmas. And so what we said, let's do, last year we gave away 8 or 10 dinners. And that was a real step for us. And so this year we said, why don't we give away 100 dinners this year? And 100 Christmas dinners, 50 Thanksgiving and 50 Christmas time. And let's, at Christmas time, let's put gifts in there. Let's ask around. And really, the 100 was a huge number for us. With that, the church was going to put a turkey or give a gift card, usually, for whatever kind of meat the people wanted to give. And so as we begin to do that, it reminds me of Jesus breaking the 5 loaves and 2 fish. As we begin to disperse this stuff, more came in, more came in, more came in. And we heard stories that were absolutely unbelievable. The word spread throughout the school and throughout the community of what we were doing. And people not even going to church here started bringing food in, started bringing gifts in, all kinds of gifts. We had a school executive team meeting. There were about 13, there were about 20 of us actually, that were there. And they saw, they had heard what was going on. They saw the angel trees. And those people picked up cards and brought wonderful, wonderful gifts back. And it was a step of faith for us in one sense, in that we didn't want to start asking for money and all that kind of stuff. But we were having to provide turkeys and or ham or something like that. And so we knew there was a commitment, a financial commitment. A lot of folks brought in gift cards and we used some of those. But the very last day, a guy that doesn't even go to church here, not a member here, doesn't attend here, I've been here once or twice maybe, came up and he says, man, what you guys are doing for this Christmas deal is just wonderful. I'd like to give $1,000. He says, can I do that? And I said, baby, can you do that? He says, do you guys take credit cards? I said, we take anything. And so Jamie swiped him on the square. Didn't swipe him. Did the square thing and got. But it was an absolute wonderful. And it was because of your generosity. Because of your generosity. You guys brought a lot of food. You brought a lot of nice gifts. And it was wonderful. And I think more than just, whoop, on to the next, on to the next. It's good to just stop and say, what a wonderful job. Incredible generosity. And I'm not trying to be arrogant, but we made Christmas for 100 different families. One lady called, and Jamie was talking to her on the phone, and she began to, the lady began to cry, then Jamie began to cry. And I thought, what's going on here? And so as the lady's talking, they did not have food. And so we were able to give her boxes and boxes of food. And so Jamie said, is there anything else you need? And the lady said, well, I hate to say this, but we need toilet paper. We're going to McDonald's and stealing the napkins from the restaurants, and we need toilet paper. So we gave her a roll. No. Obviously, how many of you know when you're asking for toilet paper, there's real need there? When you're going to McDonald's and taking napkins and whatnot, there's real need there. And so that was part of our giving. And it was absolutely wonderful. It was incredible. And during the same time, Hope Kids, There are about 250 people here. Hope Kids is an organization for terminally ill children. These are kids with life-threatening diseases, life-altering diseases for sure. And every year we put on a carnival for them. And, of course, it's all free to them. And we hold it in the gym next door. And so many of you got involved. One of those pictures that was in the gym with about 55, 60 volunteers were you guys that made Hope Kids happen. And it happened on 10th of December, one of those busy times of the year. And so God bless you. That was a real highlight for us. And another real highlight is John Johnson. Did you know that, John? You are one of the highlights of my life and this church. About this time last year, my good friend Bobby Scroggs, we've been friends for him forever, and he was our piano player, and he was excellent and a dear friend. And he came to me and he said, "I just believe that the Lord's moving me on." And I said, "Well, you need to change the way you believe then." And I didn't want him to go, but I knew, you know in your gut, even when you don't like it, that it's right. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And so I knew that this was kind of the right thing. And so I said, "Okay." And he says, "I'll give you a month or so." And so he did. And so finally, I had always been, maybe you don't understand this, a piano-driven worship leader. I like that piano, heavy piano, and guitars and fill-in, sure, that's fine. But I've always been, for my whole life, a piano-driven worship leader. And worship leaders I had before, they were piano-driven. And I had some folks coming to me and said, "Man, why don't we move to a guitar-driven?" And I said, no, we're fine. And so when Bobby left, I thought, what am I going to do? And so at that time, we got a hold of another friend of mine. This kid goes to the school in East Mesa, Jeremiah Womack. And Jeremiah came and began to lead worship for us with his guitar. And we just loved him. And then some big church offered him a full-time job. And Jeremiah came and said, "Man, I can't turn this down." And I said, "No, I understand that." And so we didn't know what we were going to do. And John Johnson, who played on the music team, said, "I'd like to lead one Sunday." And I thought, well, sure. So John led one Sunday, and it was wonderful. Yeah. And then 2 or 3 weeks later, he led again. And it was more wonderful. And then, I don't want to embarrass anybody here. We've got two folks in our church. And truthfully, I was concerned for some of the, I'm not old, I just look old, some of the seniors in the church. And I tell you what, Bill Bessie, no offense that you're not a senior, Bill, I wouldn't ever want to call you old or anything. But Bill came up to me after church one time, and he said, "Why are you looking elsewhere when we've got David, the worshiper David, right here in our midst?" And another guy, George Lenz, you'll never know what that meant to me, George, when you said it that day. And he says, "You ought to have him lead all the time." And I said, "Say no more." And so we did, John. And what a blessing you've been to us, bud. We really do appreciate that. And not only that, you're sitting by your brother there that's just a sweetheart, right? No. Right during that time when Bobby Scruggs left. What's his name? Yeah, dear friend, we're just like that. Do you know that Bobby now is playing the piano for Rod Marion, the Gilbert Nazarene pastor, a dear friend of mine? Rod calls me the other day and he says, "Man, I need a piano player. Do you know anybody?" And I said, "Call Bobby." And sure enough, he called Bobby and Bobby said, "Sure." And I thought, well, why him, not me? Anyway, so he's playing for the Gilbert Nazarene church. It's going well. But anyway, about the same time when Bobby was gone, we had a lady in our church, Rochelle, came up and said, "You know, I play the piano if you ever need any help." And I thought, well, okay. The team had her audition. That's better to do than just play on a Sunday morning. Audition on a Wednesday night. And I came walking in the room and that piano was gone. And I wanted to cry because it was so wonderful. And you know, Rochelle, you are a highlight to me of what God will do if you just follow Him. So in reality, I didn't have to give up the piano at all. You do a wonderful job here. Man, I heard you this morning. Ding, 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 ding. It's wonderful. You know what I'm talking about? Ding, ding. Yeah, I do too. I can't do it, but I can. And so, what a highlight. So what do I remember? that when God makes some changes that you're not counting on, and yet you know that it's the Lord, He will do better, exceedingly abundant, above all that you could ever ask or think. God knows what He's doing. And you guys are highlights of that. Joe Gonzalez, our children's pastor. We did pretty well with volunteers and rotations and all that kind of stuff. But we got to know Joe Gonzalez this last year. Joe came on staff with us and does our Sunday morning children's. And it's been absolutely wonderful. Joe has just brought the level up tremendously. And what a wonderful, wonderful God we serve, because He sends people like that to help us. See, that's what what did you remember last year? That's what I remember, is that God sends the best. I am not just saying this to be nice. Jamie Johnson's leadership. I tell you, she was raised in this church. She's just a kid. Came here when she was 10 or 12 years old. And after high school, did a year of intern with us. Did a second year of intern with us. And came on staff. That's been 18 years ago. 16 years ago. She's 35, however that is. Anyway, and for years, did a wonderful job in the office and took care of matters and all this. But you never could get Jamie on the stage. Because I said, Jamie, just make that. No, I'm not going to. So I would make the announcements and blah, blah, blah. And during sometime last year, Jamie says, I'll go ahead and announce that. And she did, and did a wonderful job. And all of a sudden, I see her taking care of ministry matters, organizational matters that go on without me even knowing about it. And so the leadership, and Jamie, and let's give her a hand clap. Let's do that. It was a Sunday or two ago, and we were doing some special things because it was Christmas and all that kind of stuff. And usually I come up and pray. And I thought that week that Jamie was going to do the prayer, and I was not going to do the prayer, much like we did this morning. And when she got up and started praying, I thought, wow, the Holy Ghost is here. Listen to that prayer. And after I heard it that Sunday morning, I thought, you're the prayer next time. So this week, this is part of the plan, Jamie, in case you didn't know that. What a wonderful, and so her rise and her developing leadership, not just because I like her and she's a wonderful girl, but God's really got a touch and His hand on her life. And that's one of my highlights for the year. Same way with Jessica. And I'm just being nice to staff people here. Jessica's taken women's ministries to a whole nother level. With the quads, with the different programs they're doing, this Caroline Leaf thing that's happening, it is absolutely huge. The conferences they've been attending, and the ministry that Jessica Darley has, of pastoral care, of caring for people, all kinds of things going on that I don't even know about, Jessica takes care of. And I really appreciate that. And that's one of the highlights of my year this year, is to watch Jamie and Jessica really develop. The development of men's ministries. Ed Darty just taken that thing and developed it. And it's really wonderful. You saw one of the pictures up here. It's one of the guys went out on a project day on a Sunday morning, and when I first heard that, I said, Sunday morning, you can work other days besides Sunday. And I sounded just like a Pharisee in my own mind. You know, you can heal other days but Sunday. And so I thought about it for 3 seconds and said, yeah, let's do it. And it was one of the most effective things that we had done in a long, long time. Guys going out to those people's house, the man had been hit by a bus and was barely alive. His yard needed tremendous maintenance in his house. And these guys went out and spent a Sunday morning and did a huge level of service that was just wonderful. Other things that have been going on, the discipleship that's been going on among the men, that's one of the highlights of my life, one of the highlights of my year. This year we saw my own son, Jeff and Joanna. They went to the Four Square Church on Greenfield and Pueblo, right between Broadway and Southern. And they took that church over. Last year they started attending and they were looking at the prospect. We were talking to Foursquare to see how all that would work out. And so what they did, the Sunday after Easter, the first week of April, Jeff and Joanna became the pastors there. There were about 15 to 20. And that's if Jeff would bring his family of five. So how many of you know when the preacher comes and it doubles the crowd, you've got a pretty thin crowd. And so anyway, they became the pastors there. They're doing just absolutely wonderful. He called last week or the week before and he said, man, we had 42. And I said, praise God. It's wonderful. And so any time you're, it's just one of the highlights of what Life Community has done. Jeff was with us on staff for about 5 years and is gone now to plant that church. Foursquare has gotten behind it, and we love them. They're our new best friends right now, if you know what I'm saying. Every week, most of people don't know it, there's 300 kids come here for chapel from the school. Every single week. I got a good pastor buddy of mine. He says, are you guys doing VBS this summer? And I said, no. And he says, why not? I said, we do VBS for 300 kids every single week of the year when school's in session. And Mike Craig helps out. But the staff does wonderful lessons right out of the scripture, full-blown chapel. One of the highlights of what we do, and now I'm winding down the highlights, not winding down the sermon, I'm going to rev up on that, is this wonderful auditorium that we have. We just really like it. Isn't it pretty? Anyway, but we've had wonderful opportunity to use it for the expansion and growth of the kingdom. It's just wonderful. This last, there's an autism academy that we're really not connected to, but we know the director, she attends church here, and usually for the autism academy, their programs, it's just a room about the size of the stage, and all the kids stand on one side and the parents stand on the other, and they go through some kind of a deal for a Christmas program. And so we asked Laura, would you like to bring your autism academy here? It's free. No charge. And put on a program here. She's got two different schools. And so they brought one school here during the Christmas time and another school the next night. And it was wonderful to see these autistic children finally have a place to perform. Now, if you're a little kid and you're standing on the stage like this and the lights are up there and the lights are turning every different color, for an autistic kid, it just drives you nuts. But anyway, we quit moving the lights so fast when we learned that. But it's huge because there's a room full of people. And it's an opportunity for these kids to be on a stage. Same way with Gilbert Elementary. Micah is teaching the music for the K-1-2 class. And they came up and did a wonderful program. The school used it several different times. The management company of the school used it. And we were able to use this for all kinds of different, not just Life Community people. What we did a couple Sundays ago with our own children's program was just so sweet and cute. But what we've always done, guys, remember, if those of you have been around for a while, remember, what we've always done is we've leveraged our assets, is we've taken what we have and spread it around. In our other building, we had 5 different churches using our building. This year, we helped the church get started. It's an Assembly of God church, not even a Foursquare church, get started in our school right next door. Not every week, but often, people come looking for this church. And I said, no, you're looking for the one next door. And they go up there and find out where they're supposed to be. But it's to leverage what you have to help somebody else out gives you highlights all year long. And so what do I remember from last year? Incredible things. So, as I wind up, kind of. Number one, memories are selective and intentional. Selective memories. And I think memories are intentional. I think the scripture's kind of clear. I'm not going to do a teaching on it. Is there some things you remember and some things you forget? It doesn't mean you deny them. Doesn't mean they didn't happen. But it means they don't stay in your emotional psyche forever. And what kills a lot of people is there are things that happened years and years and years and lifetimes ago that are as effective in their life today because that memory is as hot today as it was when it happened 30 years ago. And memories are selective. You know, you can't even eyewitness to a crime scene. The police have to take all that into consideration because 5 people can look at the same crime scene, look at the same accident, and come up with different opinions of what happened, and nobody's lying. Why? Because we all see things differently. And so the children of Israel were coming out of Egypt, were coming out of Egypt on the way to the Promised Land. And the Bible says, I'm not going to turn to it, but it's in Numbers 11. It says there was a rabble among them, which is a mixed multitudes. They weren't all Israelites. There were some of the pagans with them. And anyway, they were coming out with them. And they said, you know, we're so sick of this manna. We remember when we were in Egypt. Now, remember, they were slaves in Egypt. They had a Pharaoh that was beating the way out of them. They were slaves there. And they said, we remember. We had all the food we wanted to eat. There were melons and garlics and leeks and all the stuff. And we had meat and we don't have anything here. We just hate this. And they remember sometimes being in a place of bondage as being better than they were. So just remember, when you remember, memories are always selective. And I think they're intentional. That's why I often sit down and recount the good things God has done. Not trying to live back there where we gave that food away, but I do remember how faithful he was to provide, to step out. See, the same way with his Israel trip. Big step for us. For some of you, it's even a bigger step. But if you're supposed to go, I'm not saying that you're supposed to go, but if you're supposed to go, God will open the doors for you and he'll make a way. And you'll remember Israel, but you'll remember more God's provision for you. Number two, God uses different things to jog our memory. You know, God creates things to jog your memory. In the Old Testament, there was these feasts of the Lord. And the Israelites had a kind of a clue to what they were. One was the Feast of Passover. Now, that's when the angel passed over them and did not kill them. And they came out of Egypt as children of God and all that kind of stuff. And so there is a Feast of Passover and God says, I want you to celebrate this every year and remember what I did. There was a Feast of First Fruits. Okay, and I want you to celebrate the first fruits that are offered to the Lord. And I want you to remember that. Celebrate that every year. Okay, so they were doing that. And there's a Feast of Pentecost. That was 50 days after you come out of Egypt. And I want you to celebrate when Moses went to the mountain and got the tables of stone in the tent. Celebrate that every year. So God says, I want you to do these things so they'll jog your memory that every year you remember Passover. And there are several feasts. I'm not going to cover them all. But then, so they were going through this routine, remembering these feasts. Then along come Jesus, who was killed at Passover, who rose from the dead on the day of first fruits, who 50 days later, the Holy Spirit was outpoured, and it changed everything. So God had well in mind where he was going with it. And he says, now what I want you to do is remember this, and remember this, and remember this. Remember the time you came out of Egypt. Because there is coming a Passover lamb. So he says, when you do communion. Now really, the communion in the New Testament was really a full love feast. It was not just a little wine and grape juice. It was a full meal. And it was to celebrate the body of Christ. It was a rehearsal. It was a remembering. It was a rethinking. It was doing it all over again. Because God says, I want you to remember this. So as they would celebrate, they would remember. God says, I want you to remember the Sabbath day. Which we don't celebrate it like they did, but it's a day of rest. It's a day when you're given to reflect on God's goodness. And he said, what I gave you that is to remind you of when you were in Egypt's captivity. And you were helpless to bring yourself out. You had no power over Pharaoh, that I brought you out. And that I'm able to do all for you that I said I was going to do. And this is in Deuteronomy 5. He says, so when you keep your Sabbath, you're remembering when you used to be a slave. Remember the rainbow in the sky? What are the rainbow? What does a rainbow mean? It's God's covenant. God's covenant. See, God destroys the earth with water. And that would make you a little wearisome. What if he does it again? What if he gets ticked and does it and it happens again? And God says to Noah, I'm not going to do that ever again. I'll never do it again. And I'm going to put a rainbow in the sky. So Noah, whenever you see that rainbow, you remember the covenant I have with you. See, God does all kinds of things as a reminder of covenants that he's made with us. Deuteronomy 14 says, the purpose of tithing is to give in your 10%, is so that you will remember to always put the Lord first in your life. It's not just a matter of shuffling money to get the church paid for or something like that. No. So that you would remember. That's an act that you go through that says, wow, Lord, yes. You are the first in my life. How many know payday is a little funner than the other days? A little more fun. Why? It's payday. So God says, I want you to take that time and want you to remember that I'm number one in your life. Deuteronomy 14 says that. So, what do you remember from last year? I think memories will guide and direct our self-talk. Now, I have learned long time ago, I'm not going to get rid of the nit-natters. Who knows what nit-natting is? It's the little coffee clutches and the people that go, bah, 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 bah. Whoever knows people like that? Okay, who's ever one of them? I had a lady give me a prophecy years ago. She says, your life's going to be like chihuahuas nipping at your heels. And I thought, lady, you just... And then about 10 years later, I thought, boy, my life is like chihuahuas nipping at my heels. See, self-talk. It's not the talk out there that gets you. People are going to talk or they're not going to talk. Whatever. I've learned you can't stop that. I'm worried about the self-talk that goes on inside of me. When I'm real quiet. Sometimes when I go to bed and I have time to think. Who would like to hear a dumb story? I'm going to tell it anyway. Happened this week. We just closed on a place in Munns Park. Matter of fact, Jenny and Micah are up there today. Today is Micah's birthday, by the way. Happy birthday to Micah. And anyway, and Jeff and Joanna are going up there this week. And so we just closed on it. We bought some land and then bought a mobile home, put on it, and then the contractors did all this kind of stuff. And so there was one small thing that the contractor didn't do. And we haven't even done the walkthrough yet. And I got to thinking about that, and I thought, I'll bet you he's cheating me. And then I thought a little bit about that, got a little more aggravated. And then the more I thought about it, the more aggravated. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And my self-talk was just going nuts with me. And finally I said, I'm just going to have to quit thinking about this. And so I didn't. I kept thinking about it. Finally I go to sleep. And I woke up in the morning thinking about it. So I said, I'm going to Home Depot just myself. And I'm going to check to see what it would fix this. So I go to Home Depot in Santa Cruz, California, by the way, and I look at that, and it is a minor $200-$300. If he didn't do anything and I had to do it all, it's a $200-$300 deal, and I was about to get angry over that. Self-talk will kill you. So how do you direct it? I think it goes by our memory. Psalm 42 says, "Why are you so downcast, O my soul?" David's talking to himself. Why are you so disturbed within me? Put your hope in your Savior and God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you. Silly little things like a night of frustration is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the things that a lot of people carry forever. They don't remember the good things. They remember how somebody screwed them over. How somebody got to them, took advantage of them. How they done you wrong. And I'm not denying that it happened. I'm not saying it probably didn't happen. It has happened. But if you choose to keep that, it will absolutely paralyze you. And that's what David said. I'm really depressed, God. Really depressed. My soul is downcast. So he's talking to himself and he says, put your hope in the Lord. And whenever my soul is downcast within me, I'm going to remember you. Psalm 105, remember the miracles he has done. His miracles and his judgments. How God has handled situations. Talked about our piano player problem. And the Lord had that covered all along. And had a young man in John to ready to go. And I thought, shame on me that I would ever worry about that. When I think of God and his works, and the wonderful things that he does. Psalm 143. I remember the days of long ago. I will meditate on all your works and consider what your hands have done. So I think it's good to stop and remember some highlights. Some remembrances. My favorite psalm, Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And that man will be like the tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. But it's the blessed is a man, happy is a man. This works for a guy or a gal. There's not just male gender here. Works for a person who's learned to meditate. Not on how the contractor done you wrong. Not that kind of stuff. But learn to meditate on the goodness and the laws of God. I don't just mean the Ten Commandments, okay, the first one, second one. No, he's not talking about that. He's talking about his ways, his judgments. How kind he is, how fair he is, how generous he is. The word meditate is kind of, it likens to what a cow does when it chews the cud. Without giving a biology lesson, a cow has several stomachs, swallow some food, and they bring it back up and chew on it. That's what meditation is, chewing on it. When I was going the wrong direction the other night over that contractor deal, I was meditating in the wrong vein altogether. And that'll produce nasty stuff in you. Those of you that meditate on a negative train, what we call below the line around here, it'll kill you. But he says, he that meditates on the law of the Lord will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Doesn't go through really droughts. Produces fruit when it's time to. I've lived long enough to know every season is not the time of fruitfulness. Sometimes it's not. And knowing the difference is a wonderful thing. But produces fruit in season. His leaf does not wither. It's not like the longer you get, the crankier and winding down. No. The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter and brighter until a full day. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Whatever you do, prospers, flourishes, relationships happen, finances happen. Doesn't mean you're gold, mighty King Midas, where everything you touch is gold. I'm not talking about that, but where there is a blessing of the Lord that gets added to your life. Then Psalms goes on to say, but the ungodly are not so. They're like the chaff that the wind just drives away. They're coming and going. That's Psalms 1. Read it when you get home. I would really like the Lord to bless everything I do. I really would. And I think it's self-talk that makes that happen. We can encourage one another and say, hey, you're going to make it, you're going to make it. And that's good while they're here. But then as soon as they're gone, you're back to talking to yourself again. Aren't you? So, what do you remember from last year? Because most likely, next year it's going to happen again. There will be things next year that we don't foresee. Whoa, I didn't see that coming. Whoa, I wonder how we're going to get through that. Lord, I thought it was this, and then now there always is. But if you can remember how faithful God is, that even when it wasn't your plan, wasn't your idea of what was going to happen, it's still what God does. And He's so incredibly faithful. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, thank you for these good people that have patiently listened to me this morning. Lord, we do want to remember the right stuff and be people who are blessed by you in whatever we do. I pray that in Jesus' strong name. Amen.